are celebrating the church lives under the power of the Holy Spirit, why don't you open your pew Bibles to page 575. We're going to look for Psalm 133. It's a terrific psalm to read when the topic is the church or the power of the Holy Spirit. And since it's Pentecost, I don't feel bad for changing it up a little bit, because the Holy Spirit reminds us to not be stuck doing the same things all the time. So we're looking for Psalm 133 on page 575 of the Old Testament section of our pew Bibles. And it's got three verses, so I'll do the first and the third, and you'll do the second, all right? How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like a precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Amen. And also we'll turn to Titus chapter 3. This is from the New Jerusalem translation. I was challenged by some confirmands years ago. They said, "Pastor, have you read the whole Bible?" And I said, "Well, probably." They said, "But how do you know?" So I really took that to heart. And accepted that challenge, and so I had always wanted to read more in the New Jerusalem Bible, a very different translation from our pew Bible, the New Revised Standard Version, and so I found a copy of it, and I can now tell you, without a doubt, that I've read the whole Bible. And since it was the New Jerusalem Bible, which is part of the larger Catholic tradition, I've even read the other books that aren't in our Bible. But when I got to Titus, I was really blown away by this little section in Titus and just the way it sounded. It was just so beautiful. And then I went to the NRSV, and it just was less beautiful. So this is from the New Jerusalem Bible, from Titus chapter 3. Listen now for a word from God. "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is sure." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today I want to tell you a story about baptism, about the Spirit pouring out blessings upon us like water. But it's also about how the blessings of the Holy Spirit come into the church. And when they come into the church, they are comic and tragic and fantastic all at once. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but things happen in the life of the church and they make your heart sore. And other times things happen in the life of the church and they break your heart. And then other things happen in the life of the church, and they make you say to your neighbor, "Did that really just happen?" Except it did. The life we experience in the church under the power of the Holy Spirit is comic and tragic and fantastic, and it all starts with baptism. In my first call, I served a big Presbyterian church as a small associate pastor. And I had the funny and sad and strange duty of moderating the session of a smaller Presbyterian church just down the street. And so on the second Sunday of the month, I would go down there and I would celebrate the Lord's Supper. And then afterward, I would moderate their six-member session. There was a charismatic young man leading that congregation named Ronnie, and he had grown up in the Baptist tradition, and he was preaching at that little church on a regular basis. And Ronnie was almost ready to look for a church of his own, but somehow he didn't. And so he was just taking care of official duties unofficially at that small church. And I came in to take care of official duties officially, but I felt very unofficial. Felt like walking into somebody's house and saying, hey, I'm your uncle. And these fine Presbyterians did not look at me too strangely. They knew the drill, so they just said, yes, fine, you can be our uncle. But I wasn't their uncle. Not really. I was more like a designated uncle or a step uncle. But on Sunday, one particular Sunday, the second Sunday of the month, I left the service at the big church to head down to the small church. And I didn't go as I usually would have in my black robe. Instead, I wore a shirt and trousers that didn't need to be dry cleaned because that day we were going to baptize two 10-year-old girls by immersion. I know. In seminary, they teach you lots of stuff. There's lots of lectures. Things like the Gospel of Luke and its redaction according to Q Source scholarship. I went to stuff like that. I took notes. Contemporary constructive theology and the question of God. Went to that one. Took notes. Never did they have a lecture titled, How to Hold a Believer Underwater, Say the Triune Name of God, and Get Them Out of the Water Without Drowning You or Them. No lecture. No notes. I knew nothing. So where seminary had failed me, the church had taught me, because I did what we all do. I asked the secretary. Secretaries have many secrets. And this secretary was particularly secretive because she was a Baptist. So she knew how. She had notes. She said very pastorally to me, you put your hand over their nose and mouth. You tell them to hold on to your arm. And then you bend your outside leg right at the knee to support their weight. Now, you're ready. Well, I don't know if I was ready, but I did have notes. And you know, just to circle back, this whole thing was the fault of a wonderful elder at that small church. Bless her heart. Now I can say something terrible about her. She asked the two 10-year-old girls, she said, do you want to be baptized or do you want to be sprinkled? And she wrinkled up her face when she said it with this wince, like she asked them, do you want to be licked? Like when we got to the time for baptism, there would be a gigantic dog. And I would say something like, girls, Rufus the Great Dane licks you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Good. Good, girls. Good, Rufus. I wanted to say to her, what about Psalm 133 that we read together? It's like the precious oil running down the head of Aaron, running over his beard, over the collar of his robes. No licking. There's no licking. There's no dogs. Just this oil that reminds us of the fluid of being chosen by God and being part of his holy people and his nation, his chosen ones whom he loves. Nope. Baptized. Not sprinkled. Okay. So the second Sunday came, as it always did. I had my notes, hand over their nose and mouth, their arm, their hand grabbing my arm, bend the knee, support the weight. Right. Had it. So we welcomed them into the church. We celebrated the Lord's Supper, and then it was time for our little field trip, and we caravaned to New Bethel Baptist Church. Very nice church, and the pastor was there. I believe he was finishing up the sermon, but then he kept finishing, and he kept finishing. You know those Baptists, God bless them. He finished, and he kept finished. He just kept going. And I thought, I listened to 15 minutes of it at least, and I thought, well, he's got a really great way about him. I mean, I think no matter how bad he thought a sermon might have been that he wrote, I think he could really finish it well. And there's something to that. You know, life, like sermons, like major league pitching, it's all in the finishing. So he finished it up, and people stuck around after, and we waited, and we waited. We waited for about an hour. And the two little girls who were going to be baptized, they crossed and uncrossed their legs just about as much as me. And one girl said, "How deep will it be?" And I said, "Oh, not too deep," having never been there before. Nah, not too deep. The other girl said, "I'm nervous." And that's when I got real honest. I said, "I'm nervous too." I said, "But it's going to be okay." And then I had my talk with God. Now, Lord, I just promised it'd be okay. So if you can keep me from being a liar, that would be great. But I also have my own anxieties about this, so please let it be okay. And also, not too deep. One reason we were waiting around for such a long time and waiting, it wasn't because the pastor was finishing, but because Ronnie was not known for being incredibly detail-oriented, and somehow the information did not flow from Ronnie to Reverend finishing up to the elder whose job it was to turn on the faucet to the baptismal pool. And so we physically waited for the pool to fill up and waited. And then when they lifted up a trap door, and you thought that was cool with the lid there, they had a trap door in their sanctuary, and they're was a pool of water, a small pool of water, because it was still filling, and we waited and waited. And while we waited, Reverend Finishing Up came over, and he told Ronnie and I, he said, "Now, boys, I only have one suit." I had to translate that. That meant he only had one rubber suit. And I didn't look at Ronnie. I didn't need to look. I knew Ronnie'd get that rubber suit. And I wouldn't get it. Maybe because they're both Baptists, you know? Or maybe because they knew each other, which they did. Or maybe it's just because God is funny. So Ronnie and I were ushered into the Reverend's office below the sanctuary, just off the fellowship hall. Think undercroft. It's a great word. Don't get to say it very much. So he explained about the rubber suit again, and he held it up, and the rubber suit is really a pair of waders. Rubber suit, okay. But to make, I guess, me feel better, he also held up a black cotton robe, and he explained that he wore that for baptisms. You ever see a children's musical or a play where there's a donkey involved? Not a real actual donkey, but kids dressing up like a donkey where one of them plays like the head and the first feet of the donkey, and then the other one plays the last legs of the donkey and the rear end. He held up that rubber suit, and he held up that black cotton robe, and all I could see in my head was the head and the rear of a donkey. And to be honest, since I knew I was going to be wet, I took cold comfort with the fact that I was going to be the head of this baptismal donkey. I was not going to be a donkey's behind today. And then I wondered about the Proverbs. Was there a proverb, better to be the head of a wet baptismal donkey? Probably not. So I rolled up my pant legs as high as I could, and I rolled them up a little more. And I put on my wash and wear black robe, and I led that ecclesiastical donkey up the steps, back out to face the congregation. The lights were all down now, and the lights were on in the baptismal pool, which was really cool. And I walked toward the pool, and the two baptismal candidates, the beautiful young girls, laughed and pointed at my legs. And I wondered if they saw the donkey too, but then I realized that they did. And everyone started to sing a hymn a cappella, and it was a beautiful moment, and it really kind of gave my heart a tune-up that it needed. And I walked down the steps into the water, and my foot hit the water. Actually, just my toe hit the water. Well, actually, the first skin cell of my first toe hit the first molecule of the first droplet of the water. And it said in the voice of every good off-camera game show announcer, The water is unusually cold. For your safety, nerve endings, please inform the Reverend McCormack that the water is unusually cold. Thank you. My little one-celled toe announcer was so right. That was the coldest water ever. But I was prepared. I had sort of steeled myself for this moment. And even though I was wincing on the inside, I stood in the water. And Ronnie did the same with a look on his face that can only betray that he got the rubber suit and not me. A couple elders were there, and they helped the first little girl down into the water. And she began to shiver really quickly, partly because she was skinny and cold, and partly because she was absolutely terrified. I mean, what were we going to do to her? What is this? Why is this supposed to be like dying and rising with Christ? And why would we want any part of that? This is weird. And you know, the Christian tradition has a lot of weird aspects. Whether you're 8 or 80, sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. So she was in the water. She looked at me. She smiled, or tried to, and so did I. And then my brilliant advice came into play, and I whispered like a pro, "Now, I'm going to put my hand over your nose and mouth, and I want you to hold on to my arm, okay?" "Okay," she shivered. I said, "What is your Christian name?" And she told me, and I managed for the first time in my life to do two things at once. My wife would be so proud. I reclined her back into the water, and I said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father," and when I got to that first "and," before I could say "the Son and the Holy Spirit," that sweet little girl's head touched that water. Well, actually, one cell of her head touched one molecule of one droplet of that water, because I don't know what the voice in her head sounded like, but I do know that as soon as her head touched that water, she used every available kilojoule of energy in her body to get from a reclining position in my arms to up around Ronnie's neck. And as she did that, I said, "The Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen." So, was she immersed? It was more of a dip. But by this point, she was amped up into full-blown sobs, so I let it go. And I said what I could only think of saying was all that was in my head. It was the following: crying is an appropriate response to baptism. When we're born, I said, we cry, and when we are born in the Spirit, we might also cry. A couple people nodded. A couple people gave me blank stares as if to say, "Are you really the designated uncle? Is there anybody else we could get?" Meanwhile, my toe announcer is doing voiceover work for the National Park System. The Nantahala River flows at approximately 43 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit, even in the peak of Tennessee summer heat. Second girl came down. I whispered to her the same advice. I asked her her Christian name. I baptized her in the name of the Triune God. She came up out of the water, and her face looked beautiful. I mean, just like that sermon, like life, like major league pitching, it's all in the finishing. Water flowed off her face, off her hair, off her neck, down her shoulders, just like Psalm 133. It was a strong finish. Everyone was thanked, everyone was hugged, not everyone was wet, but everyone was dried off a bit, and everyone, especially the girls, were warmed up, and I mucked my way out to the car with my wet trousers. It was raining. Of course it was. And I took a moment in the car to kind of reflect quietly on this unbelievable experience that was slightly sad, and slightly comic. I knew those girls would never remember me. I was a designated uncle, after all. But they would remember that they were baptized and not licked. On that day, their lives were changed, though they may never completely understand how or why. It wasn't because of anything I had done. It wasn't because of rubber suits, wash and wear robes, ecclesiastical donkeys. Their lives were changed because of what God does in Christ. Just as Paul tells Titus, it was for no reason except his own faithful love that he saved us by means of the cleansing water of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he has so generously poured over us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lives changed by Christ. A funny change, and a dramatic change, and an unbelievable change. And baptism is the sign of it. Baptism is the sign that it had happened. Baptism is the sign that it would happen. Baptism is still the sign that it happens. This is what life in the church is like. It's comic and tragic and fantastic. Sometimes you just want to look at your pewmate and say, did that just happen? But it did. It did happen. And it does happen. And it will happen because of the generosity poured over us in Christ Jesus. Thank God that it happens. Amen.